Good morning and welcome. Melinda and I are delighted this morning to be sharing an influencer story with you. As Brian mentioned, Melinda and I have been working together for over 4 years from a tweet. I found her to be my Google Analytics coach before I took on my job at DVD Netflix. So what started a simple SEO engagement morphed into a 4-year partnership with an agency that I have not experienced in my couple of decades of work. And what we're going to share with you today is what happens when you really have a partnership and you get that long tail effect of the insights and what you put them into action. So if you currently have an influencer program, what you'll get out today is a way to level it up and to go beyond and to talk more about the importance of connection that Brandon was talking about. Additionally, if you haven't started an influencer program, we'll give you some thoughts on how to get started and how to better manage it. And influencer programs aren't for everybody. And we're not going to talk about whether you should or shouldn't, but if you are, we're going to tell you how to make it great. So before this conference, I want to do a brand awareness check here. How many knew that Netflix still had an operating DVD business? It's about right. When I took over in 2015, less than 40% of Netflix customers knew that DVD still existed. We had been swept under the rug, you know, put out. And what I hoped, when I took on this challenge, because I like challenging marketing jobs, I believed there was still a need. Now, the myth behind DVD customers are that they're living in the middle of nowhere, that they're scared of technology, and they're old. But what I can tell you the truth is, after plenty of surveys and getting to know my customer, is they're on the coast. They're living here in LA. You know, LA, San Francisco, New York. They are very tech savvy. In fact, over 2/3 of them actually stream and get DVDs. And they're Gen X. And if you think Gen X is old, we'll talk about it in the back room later. So, why DVD? Because they're film buffs. Because they believe in movie night and enjoying taking a moment out to really escape. And what we find is that they appreciate that we have all the classics, that we have new movies, we have all the series that you like to binge outside of Netflix, like The Handmaid's Tale and Game of Thrones. And the best part about it, you know, we started delivery to your door, right? And we still have 2-day delivery to most of the country, and all for less than $8 a month. That's less than your average movie ticket. So I have a great value proposition. What I don't have is a lot of support. So I am an island. We are a very small startup, if you will, in a big organization. I have no budget, and I have one person, and she's here with me today, Annie Jung. She's our content and community manager. Raise your hand, Annie. And what we are trying to accomplish is to actually save the business. Now, why would you say, why would I want to save this business? Isn't everybody streaming? Again, we've talked about that. You can't stream everything. You can't stream Star Wars Episode 4. You can only buy it. The only place you can rent it still is DVD. So we started to do some marketing because we knew that our competition was Redbox. It wasn't other streaming services. And 5 out of 7 Redbox users all had an active Netflix account. And with that knowledge, we started doing digital marketing. And we did paid Facebook ads. And we did Google AdWords. But the insight we started to get from that was when we had content about movies and we helped people find more to watch, it performed better. But when you're looking at the marketing department, all two of us, for a $400 million business, it's hard to create daily content. And the reason, just to kind of emphasis on the $400 million, that $400 million was bringing in $250 million of contribution margin. The reason we're still around is we're streaming's mom. We funded the exponential growth of Netflix and all those shows you love today, The Crown, House of Cards, the original binge watch. That was all funded by the cash cow. So we started to try and find a way to get more people to know about us. And my hands were truly tied. The things that you often have at your disposal, like public relations and doing a big ad campaign, I didn't have any of that. It was like, again, being at a small startup, trying to get scrappy. So we opted to try an influencer program in 2016. And we thought we'd do macro influencers, find those big mommy bloggers that had large followings, because they were the ones that were going to do movie night. But influencer programs are a lot of work, right? They have a lot of costs associated with it and time managing when you have 20 people that you're trying to get information to. You're trying to stay in line with the FTC, which is issuing all these new guidelines. And is it doing any good? Is it helping? You know, how can you measure performance? And Netflix, if you don't know, is a very data-driven organization. Almost everything we do is based off of data. And it's hard to, even though we have a, what I would say, we love to innovate, we don't like to experiment with anything that can't be quantified. So my exec staff was very skeptical about the influencer program. And even though I believed at the end of 2016 it was the right thing to be doing, I didn't have any data to prove otherwise. And so this is where Melinda and her team came into play. And they started to suggest that they could take the operational excellence that they had put into my analytics and my dashboards and try and operationalize an influencer program. At first, I was skeptical. It wasn't there. They weren't experts at it at the time. But they had some compelling data for me. When you really start digging into macro influencers versus micro influencers, and for me, micro influencers are about 1,000 people. They have more engagement, and they have a heck of a lot more trust, right? Because they're talking to are people who are fans like them, right? So with that, I took a leap of faith and let Melinda take a stab at it.
And I'm so grateful that you did. So I came from a tech background as well as Vanessa. I started my career at eBay and PayPal. And I started to think about this idea. Operationalizing to me was a phrase I use, relationships at scale. So how, really, that's the challenge in an influencer program, is how do you maintain that connection with people who are speaking either on behalf or advocating for your brand, but still do it in a way that's operationally efficient with two people and, you know, not a huge budget. So the first part of that, of course, is technology. That's often where a lot of us will turn to. But you have to be very careful. In my experience, you know, technology alone will not solve the problem. So starting out, the question we asked ourselves was, what is the purpose of the technology we would bring to bear to solve this problem? And the first thing that technology could do was, of course, add efficiency, right? We can communicate with many people at once. We can also measure the program. What could technology do to help us measure the effectiveness of the program and give Vanessa the data that she needed to present to her exec staff? The third thing that technology had to do for this project was to be able to connect the people in the influencer program with the content that the DVD team had already created, whether that was brand assets, logos, files, programs, assets, all of those types of things had to be available to the influencers at scale, because I'm sure those of you who are doing the programs, it's like, you don't need to send out 20 different emails with your logo. Like, how do you get that going? The second part of it was the easy part. There was something really amazing here that people want to talk about. Movies are, something that binds us together. They give us something to talk about. And as Vanessa said, there's this enormous catalog, which for a data person or anybody who's worked in tech for a while, your mind immediately goes to the long tail. So there's all of these niche influencers, right? Japanese sci-fi, anime, horror is a category, right? Or rom-coms from the 60s and 70s is a category. And there are people on the internet that blog about these things. Micro niches, really, really sort of interesting opportunity. But the real aha for me, this is where the Vulcan mind meld sort of happened, was when I brought my experience at eBay to bear. Netflix is an amazing tech company, data-driven. All of the stuff you've heard about them is true. But what they didn't have was a community. And because I started my career at eBay, where we didn't do anything without talking to community, where the users were very much a part of our product, very much a part of our experience, I realized that there was this opportunity to bring a community together. So I'm gonna, at this point, it was time to pitch, right? Those of you who are there any agencies in the house or service providers? Am I the only one? So I was on the other side of the desk for 15 years. So this was sort of, kind of a new thing. It's like, when do you pitch? Well, this is the time you pitch. You have the idea, you've sort of kind of agreed upon it, but then you have to present formally inside the organization. What is it we're going to do? I call it the Don Draper moment. And so I had my little Don Draper moment. And so this is a recorded version of highlights of the pitch I gave. Vanessa really wanted you to see this. So Billy, I think we have the sound on for this now. 1 second. Yeah, we talked about this before. We're going to play you a little video. It's very short, but it's a condensed version. It's for you, but it would not be pretty. Ready to go? So hopefully, I have to see how this works.
Whether it was watching Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers in the Great Depression, escaping the summer heat to see Star Wars in air-conditioned comfort, going on a romantic second date at the drive-in, watching Saturday matinees as a kid, or with our kids, or just luxuriating in a Sunday afternoon alone. The movies are how we, as Americans, have entertained ourselves for over a century. We used to gather in a darkened movie theater around the flickering images of our time, whether to be transported, enchanted, enlightened, frightened, or just to laugh until we cried. And we almost always did it together. We started by waiting in line for our tickets and popcorn. And after a movie like Inception, we might go out with our friends or our loved ones for a malted or a cocktail or dinner, sometimes debating the ending until late into the night and deepening our relationships through the films we enjoyed together. But the inevitable, inexorable pace of modern life, which brought us the internet with its vast selection of information, books, music, and news, and which, yes, made it possible to create a movie theater in our home, has also distanced and divided us from each other. As human beings, we yearn for connection and a good story, and today, movies and TV are one of the last places we can find connection with nearly everyone we meet, no matter what our beliefs. Whether you're a sci-fi junkie debating the ending of Inception, or looking for more Bollywood films to remind you of home, DVD Nation helps you find more movies and TV to love by connecting you to the DVDs and the people like you that love them. Those precious connections might be slipping away, but the DVD Nation can help you reconnect, and stronger than ever, as you gather around the flicker of the modern campfire, the movie theater in your home. In your private movie theater, there are no sticky floors, and every seat is perfect. Popcorn is optional, but highly recommended. One Nation, under film, the DVD Nation awaits.
So at the moment I gave this pitch, it's worth reflecting on what was going on at that time. So this was in the fall of 2017. Anybody remember sort of what was going on in the United States or what has been going on in the United States in the fall of 2017? And the other opportunity that I mentioned earlier was, usually as marketers, we have to think beyond the United States. We have to think globally, but this was a rare opportunity to think about the United States specifically and to be able to sort of talk about us as a culture, and that's where a lot of this came from. So needless to say, Vanessa said yes, or we wouldn't be here. We also had the great fortune that when we launched the program, Wonder Woman was just being released on DVD, so we had the great fortune of being able to go live with this image on our homepage, which is pretty amazing. You'll see a quote here from one of the members of the program, Tiffany, and you'll see more from her in a moment. And you can see that we were sort of well on our way to achieving our objectives. So what did we go live with? I know you guys are, let's get into the weeds now. You know, we've all agreed this is awesome. Now we're going to give you some details. So here's what was in the platform. The platform itself allowed the influencers to share directly on Twitter and Facebook, so they could share directly from, log in and share from there. They could also track the content that they created and produced in places like their blog, Reddit, wherever they were posting. They could let us know about that. The rewards that they received for the program, we're going to talk more about that, they are able to redeem those. So one of the things we heard in the session yesterday was that getting checks cut to influencers is a difficult proposition. Here, they earn points, they redeem them. And that's also virtual gift cards like Amazon, or they can get hats, t-shirts, any of the awesome DVD Netflix swag. Gamification. So this is, I did, in addition to working at eBay and PayPal, I did a lot of work with video game companies early in my career. So we worked on things like leaderboards and badges and sort of those types of sort of softer rewards. We went live with a platform that they could afford. So that was another constraint, right? And we'll talk about this in just a second. We had to have an asset library, as I mentioned earlier. So we needed to be able to communicate with the influencers in the program about what assets they had to use. And it, of course, needed to reflect the DVD Netflix brand. This is a globally famous brand. It has to be professional. It has to be on domain. We didn't go live with a mobile app. We'll talk about that in a minute. We didn't get, we got some version of private forums. We'll talk about that in a minute. And we didn't go live with a referral program, primarily because this was an engagement and retention tool. But I think there's many ways we could have taken this program and used it to acquire customers. But the main thing I want to point out to you, we'll get into sort of the numbers that prove the success of this program, but I've been buying tech for 20 years, and in fact, my first startup before this agency was a tool to help marketers buy technology. I'm a nerd, this is what I do. And I will tell you that the importance of sort of thinking ahead about what you want in your tool before buying it is critical. What I see a lot of people doing, because it's easier, is to pick the tool and then try to shoehorn the program into it. No. You want to start with who are we talking to and what do they need, and then seek the technology that should enable that. It should not be the raison d'etre. So I'm going to stop for a moment here and talk about a really important concept, and that's compliance, FTC compliance. Do you think the FTC is aware of Netflix? Think they know they exist? Probably. This is a major publicly traded company. There's a lot of risk, not just legal risk, but also public risk, you know, social risk, brand risk. So we had to take this very seriously. So in order for influencers in the DVD Nation to receive rewards, they have to be in compliance with FTC guidelines. And so we explain all of this in onboarding. All of their content has to be tagged with hashtag ad. We also tell them they can use hashtag promo. Ultimately, they're responsible for their own compliance, but to get rewards from DVD, they have to do this. And they also have to use our hashtag, DVD Nation, which will become very important in a moment. They have to submit all of the content they do on our behalf through our platform. So whether that's tweeting or Facebooking directly from the platform or giving us some proof of that work for other platforms. Our team, primarily Shannon, who is also sitting next to Annie, reviews these submissions. So the ones that are sort of not obvious or need sort of a judgment call, but we look at all of them, and they do not. Some of them they have to wait, you know, a day or two to get their points while we review. And as we said, the points are only awarded after the team member verifies that FTC compliance has been met. So I want to show you this. Is there a pointer here? I don't know if there's a pointer, but you can see that this is an Instagram post. And you see how compelling it is. I want you to look at a couple things about it. One, it's compliant with FTC guidelines. Two, look at the social media response. Look at the engagement. It's proof that if you have good, authentic, compelling content, you can still be compliant. and you can still have a program. So it breaks my heart a little when people say it's not possible, because it is. We can do well and do right at the same time. And here's the proof. This is from our tool, and you can see that this is over the lifetime of the hashtag DVD Nation. So this is think of it as a correlation, right? What's this number two sort of hashtag that's correlated with this? And that's hashtag ad. You're always gonna have some people that are not in the program that will use the hashtag. So basically 90% of the posts with DVD Nation have hashtag ad. That's pretty darn strong data to take to legal when they wanna know like how you can be compliant. So how does the platform work? So we have Tiffany, we're gonna talk about, total rock star. She does something. We call them value-added activities, things that Vanessa and Annie believe are going to drive the brand. That could be blogging on her personal platform, it could be posting Instagram, doing an Instagram story for the brand, Facebook, Twitter. She has to do all of that in the platform or upload proof of that. And from that platform, we get three things. We get compliance, we just talked about. They get rewards, self-serve rewards, and Vanessa and Annie get data, and we get data too. What? To both improve the program, to respond, and to measure the effectiveness, and to prove its effectiveness. I'm gonna quickly just show you some of the activities they can do. For very low effort, they can get points to follow on social media. They can share an official blog post that comes from DVD's blog. For a little bit more effort, like posting a photo featuring the iconic red envelope, to participating in an official Twitter chat. And if they want to put in more effort, they get more rewards. So authoring a blog for Inside the Envelope, which is DVD's blog, taking over an Instagram story, or hosting our chats, Twitter chats, they get more points. So the more work you get, the more rewards you get. Just a quick summary of their, so the prior program that Vanessa had for influencers was where they were called directors. And so those folks were grandfathered into this program, but we built four levels below that that gave sort of a track for people to join and sort of gamify and be part of. And this is just a small sample of the activities that and the rewards that they could get by platform. And with that, I'll let Vanessa talk about how you actually, we had to get people. We had the technology, but now the people have to actually use it.
So part of this talk is talking about how do you find influencers. And as Melinda mentioned, we had the directors program, and two-thirds of those are what we would have called mercenaries. They were the folks that weren't familiar with our brand, and we were inviting them in. The other third were people that we found, and we found because we did a couple of really smart things. And this is, if you haven't seen it, this is what a DVD mailer looks like. It is our Coke can. And there's what I call the useless flap. So when you get your envelope, you tear it off, and then it's done with. And for years we've used it. We've never really did a lot of advertising, but why not make this a social interactive panel? And over the course of different holidays, this particular one was like a Mad Lib style. And that actually led to a partnership with Mad Libs, which included getting us online activation on their website. And what we'd find is there were people who would post and engage with us all the time, and they had great engagement. And so we invited them into our tribe. And the other activity that we did a lot of was these Twitter chats. And same thing, if the same people start showing up to your Twitter chats, you're like, huh, maybe they'd be good for us. And if you don't have programs today where you're learning about your customers, you know, having online or offline activations, I really encourage you to do that, because you really do want to find those super fans, because that is where your best influencers are, because they're real. They believe in your product. They don't need to be convinced. In fact, they probably want to tell people about it, right? The whole word of mouth, right, is the fundamentals of marketing today. But 25 people is not enough people to start a program. So we do a monthly engagement newsletter, and it's specifically designed to help people put more movies into their queue, because the more movies they have into their queue, the longer they stay with us, the higher our retention rates. That's how our measurement works. And we put out this really vague call for DVD Nation. We had not scoped the program yet. That nice reward chart hadn't even been thought of. We just needed to find movie lovers. We had 3,800 people fill out a 15-question survey about their social presence and their love for movies. So we started on our journey in October of 2017. We had sign off on the project. It was late August when we kicked it off. And we were on the fast track, because the one thing about being in the DVD business, the reality is, I know I'm not going to be around in 20 years, right? So let's make the most of the time we have. And by November, we'd vetted our 3,800. We had invited in our 25. And again, talking about brand relationship, I never want to harm the brand, right? We protect the Netflix brand at all costs. And so we kept even the people we didn't think were performing in the previous program. For us, a cost of a subscription for the year, and now I would have the platform to quantify and to level people out. So I didn't have to worry about, you know, harming any relationships, because the influencers do talk, right? Once we beta tested with them, made sure the bugs were out of the platform, we invited in 75 out of the 3,800. We wanted to, again, see what would happen, scale it up slowly. And the important part for us is we really wanted to be ready to go and button down by January, because two things happen in January. It gets really cold. People stay inside. They can't go anywhere. But award season, Golden Globes, Academy Awards, I mean, that is our peak season, if you will. It's when we have our highest engagement. So we now had influencers, and we now had a program. And this is where the plot twist comes. End of January comes, the version of the forums we had, nobody's talking. We're talking to each other. You know, we're planting comments. We're not getting the community engagement that we wanted. The 100 people we had, we weren't seeing any measure up on our impression numbers. It was pretty depressing. And, you know, Melinda and Shannon are trying to make the best of it and pointing out what is going right in the program. But we had to step back, and we actually surveyed the participants to see what was going on. And when we did, our NPS score was 45 for the program. And I went, oh my God. I just made this huge bet with my executive team, and ugh. But we took a step back, because we and said, what if we looked at this at two cohorts? So let's look at our 25 original, and then let's look at the newbies we brought in the program. And this was the NPS score from our originals. Now, what I should mention is our score was not that high in the previous program. And part of the reason, in addition to needing to quantify, our directors had complained that they didn't feel valued enough. They felt that we were disorganized and weren't providing enough structure. With this platform, it's very clear every month what the focus is, right? And what activities you need to be doing and what you earn points. And their feedback to us is that they hadn't seen anything like this. And we were more organized than some of the larger brands out there. I mean, and these larger influencers were working for car manufacturers, other studios, you know, big brands. So we went, okay, we're doing fine there, but we're getting Razzies on the other side. And I'm starting to worry, because am I creating a bad customer experience for what I thought were my super fans? And so we dug deeper into their reasons for giving us the low score. And it was primarily around three areas. One, even though they had social presence, they were not social natives, many of them, even though we had tried to vet them. They were technologically challenged, didn't know how to upload screenshots. You know, they weren't normal brand ambassadors. So what comes naturally for a brand ambassador, someone who's actively doing it, it wasn't working. And the last part was, you can't always automate relationships. And that was the big learning, is that Annie and I were, you know, part of the reason you join a brand program is you want a relationship with the brand. And brand are still the people behind it. And so the first, so we had to iterate quickly because this was actually a 6-month program and experiment. So we now had 2 months left. So we put in an onboarding flow and included doing webinars where people could come and have one-on-one conversations with us. And then we ditched our private forums and actually went to a Facebook group. And the key with the Facebook group, and you see it all the time if you're participating in them, members help each other. And that's when we finally started to grow community, as people shared their love for film and they interacted. We made it easier for them to earn their points. Instead of always having to upload screenshots, they could do URLs. Much, much simpler. And then the last thing we did is our strong directors, we encouraged them to invite their community, and we allowed them to earn points off the participation of their new colleagues. And so that, you know, just became a momentum builder. So we sat and we waited. Once we brought, and we did bring in another 100 people, so we now had 200 people in the program and 100 fresh faces. And that's the result. We were just doing nothing. We launched version 2, and it was just an exponential. The red line were the directors. The blue line was cast, so they'd earned 1,000 points, and then the fans. So we were finally getting traction. But what did that traction really look like? So over the course of the year, our directors, so our super influencers, are doing 163 activities on my behalf. And I've got 20 of them. And I can tell you that in the building back in Fremont where I work, I don't have a single employee that engages as much as these directors do on social for us. But the really big one was the creation of content. We started to get so much content that we were actually struggling to keep up with it. And that content has really become a valuable piece for us. Some of the blogs that these directors have created contribute to our organic search. We have a couple of articles that like drive 20% of our organic search traffic. But now that we had engagement, how much was it actually worth it, and was the executive team going to keep the program? And I'm going to leave Melinda to talk a little bit about that.
I like to call this part, so what? Right? What, or if you sell the Breakfast Club, but why are you really here? So how do you measure the business impact? Engagement is awesome, right? Blog posts are awesome, but when you're sitting there with the CFO or the head of the DVD business unit, you better be talking about what's the return on investment. Just a quick refresher, obviously, there are two parts to ROI. There's how much you get in return and how much you spend. So first we're going to talk about how we measured return. And remember again that this is not an acquisition program, right? This is an engagement and retention program. So we have a metric we use, you may use it too. It's called ECPM, effective cost per 1,000 impressions. I'm going to quickly brush through how we do it just so you have it, but you'll be able to see this on the upload afterwards. So the first step is basically take everything that you spend on paid marketing and just convert it to cost per 1,000 impressions. So even if you're buying cost per click, cost per conversion, just you know how many impressions come out of the campaign, just you figure out what the CPM is for that, and then you do a simple weighted average. So there's a quick example. In this case, these are all example numbers. We're going to use an ECPM of $8, which is essentially what this is real. The $8 part is the real part. The Facebook and Twitter data is made up data. So the $8 CPM is a real number. That was basically what Vanessa and Annie were spending on a cost per thousand impressions basis across all their media. After you do that, then you have to measure impressions of the DVD Nation hashtag. So our tool of choice is keyhole.co. And I will point out to you that, and I'll say this probably more than once because it's important, the numbers I'm going to share with you are a floor, because it turns out that Facebook, you probably know this, you cannot track hashtag impressions through the public API. It doesn't exist. If I am wrong about this, please come find me afterwards, because I've spent like a year and a half trying to find the answer to that, and I've emailed friends at Facebook, even they can't tell me. So if you know that, let me know. But the best I can find out is you can't. And so this is the way to sell it. Right? The reason I'm telling you this is how you sell it to your CFO. You present this data as your floor. Hello, CFO. This is the floor. Facebook has, what, 10x in the United States? Twitter, take a best guess, right? So you could double or triple that based on whatever you think you can argue with a straight face. So calculating the return in year one, see me saying again, these are floors. There were 31 million total impressions on this hashtag, okay, just Twitter and Instagram alone, no Facebook. Times an $8 CPM value, that's $400,000 in impression value. That is what it would have cost DVD Netflix to buy the impressions that they got through this program. Again, I think you can slam dunk, say it's double. I think I would argue with a straight face that it's triple, but it depends on what your comfort level and your aggressiveness or assertiveness that your company likes. On top of it, there were 328 blog posts created in year one. And I don't know how much you pay for blog posts, but you can add that as income. Whatever it would cost you to recreate 328 blog posts, that's your income. For your cost, two parts. Of course, marketing agency cost. We're very transparent about that. Timeshare CMO is not free, so we incorporate our cost. And of course, the cost of the software. The rewards have a cost, both the swag, the gift cards, and of course any shipping costs. And then you have what we call basically any points that are unredeemed. That's a liability on the books for all my fellow MBAs in the room. That's also a cost of the program. So as an example, if you value these points at a penny a point and someone earns 1,000 points, they get $10 in value, and then you calculate accordingly. So what did that mean? ROI performance in year one. I'm kind of giving away the story. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't happy, right? 6 weeks post-launch, and this is V1, this investment was ROI positive, including the upfront cost of, you know, buying the software. And, you know, so it was starting to show returns within 6 weeks post-launch on 25 people. At the end of year one, there's a 3x ROI. Again, this is the floor. So if you could reasonably argue that this was 6, 9, 12x, depending on what your comfort level is. We estimate, of course, after you're out of the investment year, it's a 4x. Return on investment. Vanessa and Annie versus their prior influencer program experienced a 30% drop in hard dollar cost, just straight up cash out of pocket, 30% less. And the team also, remember, there's only two of them, so losing a half a person in time a month is a big deal. That's a half a full-time person plus that they didn't have to spend anymore. And on top of it, by, I think it was the end of January, we had the entire 2019 content calendar done, booked. These influencers picked what months they were going to blog in, what blog posts they were going to done, and they are already rolling in now, I think, for summer, right? They're starting to bring in June, July, August now. Yeah. Say that? Christmas is also, yeah. I mean, this is, because they're ahead of it. So there's no, like, scrambling around in Q4 going, oh, my God, what are we going to blog about? There you go. But what's more important than money?
So I'm going to wrap this up. This is, if you're starting a program, this is your slide. Make sure you know what you're trying to accomplish with an influencer program. Just don't do it because everybody's doing it. Go in with a very clear fit vision. Get buy-in from all the stakeholders. We almost had a gotcha. Our infrastructure team, as you might imagine, we're very protective of our network, didn't like the idea that we were going to have another domain. So again, there are stakeholders all around when you embrace this. Plan for compliance. I think if I had asked legal to do this program, they might not have said yes, but I think if I showed them the results now, but it was definitely, that slowed our process and our launch. Not involving them early on. get a platform. I mean, I just can't tell you how much easier our lives are now that we have this automated. And I really, if we were a growth business, we definitely would be investing in mobile. Recruit from your base first. You know, take a step back. Don't always go look for the person who's the expert in the field, who's never used your product before. Find the folks that are really doing things with your products. And don't forget the human piece of this, right? And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when I talk about leveling up the program and really going beyond. You need to get out of your like spreadsheet list of your emails and your influencers, and you need to know them. So we have an influencer, and I'm going to leave her unnamed because the data she does not share publicly, but she was a producer, and then she would go dark. And then she'd produce and go dark. And you know, as we're trying to tweak this platform, we're going, is it something we're doing? Is it not engaging this month's topic? So we were on a call with her for an unrelated topic, and she discloses to us that she's actually going through cancer treatments. And so when she's in the middle of her treatments, that's when she's not producing. And for us to have that context was just so much more helpful, as well as just being understanding and, you know, and being good humans. You need to know your influencers and their strengths. Amy down below there, she's my 90s gal. I mean, she has her 90s movies references. She does the Twitter chats. She does the blog posts. And she's brought a whole nother generation to DVD, right? Because her circle and her ohana is definitely of that age group. And don't be afraid to let them create content in their voice. I think as brand people, we want to always manufacture and make sure the perfect message, but that's not what their peers are looking for, right? The trust comes when it's a picture of their dog or they're, you know, in the middle of just talking about what it means to them. But the real big aha out of this program has been for me is that they're not your employees. They're your colleagues, and you want to invest in your colleagues. And one of the ways we did that is we actually brought them our Santa Ana hub, which is our second largest hub, actually just 2 miles from here. And we brought our top 7 out, and we had a trip to Mickey. You know, we did fun things. We went to Warner Brothers Studios. We had the tour of our distribution hub. But the big piece we did is we brought our expert writer, David Rather. He's a really fascinating man who was a screenwriter for Roseanne and then even was homeless, and he's written wonderful essays about this, but he knows movies like you wouldn't believe. And so we did a workshop with them to help teach them how to write about movies better. And the feedback we got from the session was better than any writing workshop I've taken for an entire weekend. And we can really see the quality improvement because we all need skill development. And so providing that for them was much needed and appreciated. But what was even more important about that was the community built amongst the attendees. And if you go look at our Twitter feed and you see the interaction, you will see interaction now between this core group, right? They've bonded, they've connected. They've taken the social media online and have built it into being more, that you care when somebody's dad dies, you know, and that you're there. And it's just, it's been amazing. And I, as a marketer, I've been evolving over the years. And a book I've read recently, if you haven't read it yet, you should, is Seth Godin's This Is Marketing. It's his latest. And he talks about how we're actually experiencing the marketing revolution right now, and that we as marketers are responsible for making change for the better. We're not out to scam anybody. We're not out to deceive anybody. We are about making actual change, right? When we have a product, if you believe you're going to stay at the hotel, your marketing, that you're going to have a better stay and you're going to feel good and your whole trip's going to be better, right? There is always more than just the product. What has happened with this program is we have changed people's lives. Tiffany, she now has her own film review site, and she is actually debuting her first short films she's produced on equipment she's bought through her rewards in the program. Raquel is now a recognized journalist on the film circuit. She just got back from South by Southwest, and she's introduced, myself included, to a whole realm of classic films that are just unbelievable, and when she writes about it, you want to watch them all. But my favorite story is about Linda. Linda lives in Rhode Island. There's not a lot of folks in her town. She doesn't get to talk about movies, so she now has this community. But what I learned about Linda when we were in LA is we've given her a voice. She told us that she'd grown up in a very hypercritical childhood. You know, she never felt like she did anything right. And when we started recognizing her visual posts, she felt, acknowledged. And she felt like she mattered. And as, a woman who's in a transition time, right, she's an empty nester, she's now decided to take voice acting lessons. She's starting to live her dream. And what more do you want as a marketer than empowering people? And that's where I really started to see the value of this program. I mean, in any influencer program, when it's structured, you're giving people a voice and a moment in time where they can feel like they are contributing. So I want to leave you with this. This group, we're here in our hub in LA, they all wanted to be a part of community and connection. They didn't care about operationalizing and optimizing. And unfortunately, in today's data-driven marketing world, it has become all about optimization and operationalizing. And it's important, right? We just disclosed how important it is. But we can't forget about the people. This group has a place where they feel like they belong, where they can connect. It's safe. And they are brand warriors for us, right? Every day you can see them, they will go out on social media and they will advocate for DVD, even though it's not the sexiest or the most popular, right? It's because they believe. And in the end, you don't buy passion, you earn passion.
Thank you so much to both of you. What a great session. What a great way to start us off. We're going to open it up now before we take a quick break to any questions. Any questions? Come on. In the back, the lovely, lonely lady with the blonde. Why don't you stand up?
Things about them. Oh, thank you. I was wondering if you engaged with them before that point personally with your own social media, or if you deemed that kind of inappropriate and crossing a line maybe.
We engage with them. We're all good friends, actually. So we have not been afraid of the lines, if you will. So transparency.
I mean, just to add to that, you vetted them pretty carefully. So, I mean, if they were posting something that was really inappropriate, that would not be okay, and they wouldn't be. So there was the upfront work was done so that there was more confidence in that relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Questions? Pardon me for pointing, I'm just helping identify you.
Oh, general direction, thank you. Hi, you said that you had tools that work, you want to find tools that work for you. So what tools did you recommend that we look at?
Well, in this case, we did a pretty thorough technology review. As I told you, I'm kind of a nerd about this, and we still are reviewing tools in the space. I can't recommend one for you because it's not me being difficult, it's the truth that it depends on your program and who your people are. In this case, at the time we built the program, there was no tool that met DVD, what we all both wanted to do, what we both believed. We needed to do both. We had to connect people and build a community, but we also had to track it, and we wanted to gamify it. Those were the big three things, and we couldn't do any of those in any tool at the time. So what we ended up doing was finding a vendor and customizing and sort of investing heavily, but that program may not be right for somebody else, and so that may not be the best solution. So I don't mean to be difficult, but it comes down to, I think I forgot to say this, which is don't shoehorn it. Like, plan the program first, then go find the vendor.
Yeah. Wait, they can talk to us offline.
Yeah, you can also, yeah. And also, if you want to talk specifics, I'd prefer to do that offline too.
Can I ask a follow-up on that? I mean, at one point, I believe you guys talked about moving from an internal platform to a Facebook group. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is there any chance you can, is that interesting to you guys? And the moving from sort of owning the entire space to going onto somebody else's channels, thoughts?
I didn't do it in a vacuum. I actually talked to some other communities, and you know, the trend right now is, even with all the everybody leaving Facebook, they're not leaving Facebook. If you're in Facebook groups, they're so active today, and it's still, you know, people, that's where they show up.
There was also the intrinsic reward of like the secret society, right? This is a private group. There's a handful of people, and I think you just went with where they were. They told us that that's where they were, so.
We were looking around that 1,000 mark. Some have a little less, and some have certainly more. Like Tiffany has a big following.
I mean, you want as many as you can get, right? But there was also some folks were locked up in the Netflix stream team, the streaming team. But we were not afraid of working with small people. Remember these niches, right? These little niches go way out into the long tail. It's kind of, you know, a person who specializes in Japanese anime, sci-fi, horror, which is a thing. Doesn't have 50,000 followers on Twitter, but their tribe or their Ohana knows who they are, and that's okay.
Yeah. All right, and on that, I want to have another round of applause for Vanessa and Melinda. This has been fantastic. Thanks.